If you were stranded on a desert island, what five albums would you want to have with you? On the eve of this Thanksgiving holiday, families and friends are coming together to share food and conversation. But if you're nervous that the topic of politics might take over before the second bottle of Prosecco gets opened, we have an alternative thought starter for you. Which five records would you take with you if you were being exiled to a desert island? You may be surprised how this conversation can turn into something much more than just a list of your favorite music. It may reveal something about what moves you and keeps you strong. And if it doesn't do any of that, it's still kind of fun. I'm Keith Shortall, and today we'll ask the question, which five records are you taking to your desert isle? We'll hear from a few prominent Mainers on this topic, we'll share their thoughts, and we want to hear from you. First, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Keith Shortall, and this is Maine Calling. Of the things that people worry about when it comes to Thanksgiving dinner these days, it's less about how long to cook the turkey or whether anyone will actually eat the canned cranberry sauce. Worry number one tends to lean more toward whether the conversation will devolve into politics and possibly a food fight. So how to head this off? Maybe start off with the five best albums of all time. You may be surprised at how thought-provoking and fun this conversation can be. And that's the subject of today's show. Sharing their take with me, Katie Metzell. She's a Portland-based singer and songwriter, currently touring in support of her self-titled debut album. Adam Ahon is a Portland-based multi-Grammy award-winning mastering engineer. And Spencer Albee returns to the program. He's a nationally acclaimed entertainer. As always, we want to hear from you. Imagine you're stranded on an island with nothing but some food and a record player. Which five albums would you want to have with you? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Welcome, everybody, for what I assume will be a civil conversation today.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do want to open with a couple of thoughts here. First of all, some of you listening might say, hey, wait a minute. It's perfectly fine to talk politics. In fact, it's an important thing when your family gets together to share what's on your mind. And if you can do so civilly without the breakdown of the weekend, good for you and do so. But maybe you want to wait until, you know, dessert or something before you get to that. And instead, you could take up a topic like this, which I realized at the outset, Spencer, when I was first starting it, I was like, hey, this is fun. And then it got to be kind of torturous, actually, as I thought more about it and put more energy into it. Why did I feel that, and did you?
Yeah, and when you initially asked me to be here, my quick answer was yes, you know, that'll be easy. Or I didn't think it would be easy, but I could, you know, albums came to mind immediately. And then I actually tried to weed it down to five, and it's ruined my morning.
So, and Katie, what was your, as you were prepping for this, what did you learn about the exercise, I guess, if anything?
Well, I tried to stick to the meaning of desert island theme. So I tried to think about what that scenario looked like, and the list that I came up with actually turned out to be more about the artists that I love, the voices that I love, and my favorite songs of theirs. So it didn't really shake out to be a list of albums that I love start to finish, like every song is a great song. I would have a separate list for that probably, but it was an interesting exercise to start with just the scenario. Mm-hmm. You know, is this post-apocalyptic? Is this, am I shipwrecked? And right. I can only hear a few songs ever again for the rest of my life. So that's kind of how I did it.
Yeah. Adam, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I felt that it was very arduous. It's a hard process, having listened to so many albums and have had so many albums mean so much to me my entire life. It was really hard to whittle it down. And I thought about an album as an art form and the albums that I continue to listen to from beginning to end, so much so that maybe I can't even tell you the name of every song, but I can air drum every fill, I can air guitar every solo, and you know, sing every note from beginning to end every time I hear it, because it's just ingrained in my being.
I found that there were a couple of other interesting things, and maybe this is just me, is that you think a little bit, maybe in some cases, about, well, what's this going to make me look like if I include, you know, the Carpenters' Christmas record on it or something, right? It's a reflection on me as well. But then also, I guess this question could be framed in any number of different ways, right? If there were, there could only be five records made, what should they be? Or if I, in my case, I made a list of what five records do I want to make sure my kids listen to before they come of age. So there's any number of exercises you could do around this. But it does say sort of something about us, doesn't it? What drives us? What moves us?
It just says what you like, I think. And there's a difference between curating a list for a group as opposed to like being true to yourself. And I think I fell back on things that I imprinted on, you know. So there's actually like stylistically kind of a lack of diversity, you know, in my list. But it gets right down to it. I like British rock bands from the 60s and 70s. That's what I like.
Hey, let's start with your list.
Oh, great.
And so why don't you just go down quickly through it, and including the honorable mention. And then we'll go back to one of the records and play a cut from it.
Oh, I mean, I started with the White Album just because, well, first of all, there are
Hold
no...
Hold on, what band is that?
The Beatles, the White Album. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think that there are any five albums in the world, for me personally, better, any five albums in the world better than any five Beatles albums. Maybe not any five, but they definitely have seven that are infallible.
So you could swap out the White Album for
I almost made a list with no Beatles because it's like, duh. Probably if I'm being honest, I just take five Beatles albums and I'll see you guys later.
Right.
You know, but for the sake of diversity, and I approached it like, if I'm on an island, I want five albums that have diversity and I love every song, but like, you know, maybe there'll be a tune for every mood-ish because you're stuck with it for forever.
Well, let's just stop there and play a cut one from the Beatles' White Album.
Song were a house, I'd want to live there.
Yes.
Everything about it.
So, all right, let's go through it down the rest of your list, the final four.
We had Pink Floyd's "Wish You Were Here." I don't have it in front of you. That's right. Who's next?
Who's next?
It just goes a lot of places. It invented a lot of things. It has a lot of there's a lot of rage in there, which I kind of like.
And Philip Glass Ensemble?
Yeah, so you got to do, you know, presumably you'll have a house on an island, so you have to do housework at some point. So it's like, I always call it like audio Adderall. It's just patterns.
And Stevie Wonder, Inner Visions.
Because Stevie Wonder. And that was another hard one to choose one from him, but that's the one I imprinted on.
And then you added an honorable mention.
I sent you one of them.
Yeah, oh, you did. It was one.
Yeah.
Amy Mann, Bachelor Number 2.
Yeah, I love that album. It just sounds so good, and it's full of joy and melancholy and humor, and the production's incredible, and I just love the sound of her voice.
All right. Katie, we'll go to you. Do you have your list in front of you?
I do.
Okay. Why don't we just go down through the five, and then we'll come back to highlight one of them.
So I have the Beatles, obviously. I chose Hard Day's Night because I had the VHS of the Hard Day's Night movie that I used to watch every day after school when I was a little kid. And I grew up listening to the early stuff, and a lot of the really sweet little 2-minute love songs were my favorites at that point. So If I Fell and I Love Her, those types of songs. It's really hard to choose a Beatles album, but I decided to just go to, as Spencer said, you know, imprint mode Mm-hmm. What were the standouts for me? And those fall into the category of some of my earliest musical memories. So I have that one. I also chose Lady Soul by Aretha Franklin, because Ain't No Way is one of my absolute favorites. And I could not even listen to it after she passed, because it makes me cry anyway. It's a beautiful album, but for me, that's a standout song, and just the studio recording itself, not even, I mean, I'm sure the live versions are incredible too. And then also, I believe Since You've Been Gone is on that one too, which I love, and Natural Woman, of course.
Mm-hmm. Chain of Fools is on there?
Chain of Fools.
Yeah. In fact, let's listen to that. We do have that clip. We don't have the other one, but can we play clip number 2? So we did have the clip. I apologize.
I'm so glad we
swapped it out right before we came on. I wasn't aware. Cool song. All right, let's go through some of your other choices.
Sure. Another easy one to choose after Aretha. I knew I wanted to pick something from Donny Hathaway, because the two of them, for me as a singer, I respond to voices first. I respond to singers, and I respond to the words. The lyrics are so important to me, and how they're being sung and how things are being phrased. So I think Aretha Franklin and Donny Hathaway are standouts in terms of music case study. So that's why I love them so much. Donny Hathaway, I chose his live album from 72, I believe. It was recorded at the Troubadour and Bitter End?
Bitter End.
Yes.
Yep.
In particular, I love all of the songs on that album, but in particular, his cover of Jealous Guy is just outrageous.
It smokes the original, I think.
What?
I think it outshines the original.
Oh, absolutely. No question. And I think if you listen to that live version of Jealous Guy and then you go back and you listen to Ain't No Way, you'll see that Aretha and Donny have very similar singing styles, where they hold back so much and they're almost like barely singing, but they're doing so much when they are. Mm. Yeah, nerding, vocal nerding right now. So we covered Beatles, Hard Day's Night. The next one I chose is obviously Bonnie Raitt, for me, a huge hero and huge influence.
What about that record in particular, Luck of the Draw?
Luck of the Draw, I Can't Make You Love Me, which is just a perfect song. Second verse makes me cry every single time I hear it. It's so beautiful. It's so beautifully done. And Not the Only One on that album, too. Mm. I love that song, too. Bonnie was a huge part of my childhood and huge influence. And then my last one, I don't know. I didn't know if I was playing by the rules by picking this one, but I chose the motion picture soundtrack to Wizard of Oz, because I have a huge connection to Judy Garland. And hearing Somewhere Over the Rainbow for the first time, I used to sit and watch that movie over and over and over when I was a little kid. And my parents said as early as 2, I would just be sitting in front of the TV watching that movie and just weeping when Somewhere Over the Rainbow would come on.
I'm sorry, but like, it just sounds like you're going to be on an island crying.
Yeah. But it's so good.
Is it a rainy island?
It's like, yes. And sad to me is beautiful. And it's kind of what a lot of these people have in common. And I think sometimes what makes a really good artist or a really great singer is just pain, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's human, and I think it's beautiful. So
great, excellent, Adam. Let's get to you before the first break.
Sure.
Let's go through your list.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So I cheated a little bit. I'm going to be upfront about that, but I started out with Rubber Soul and Revolver by the Beatles, and here's my defense of cheating in that realm is George Harrison on the Beatles anthology, I believe, was quoted as saying that he considered Rubber Soul and Revolver to be volumes one and volume two. They could be a double album, essentially, was what he was saying. And they're my two favorite Beatles albums, like Spence and I'm sure Katie as well. I could have just had five Beatles albums in this list, which wouldn't have been fair, but they're my two favorite, and I oscillate between which one is my favorite album almost any given day, though lately Revolver has been the favorite of the two. So there's that. Mm-hmm. Prince and the Revolution, Purple Rain, pretty much anything Prince recorded would or could be on this list. And I tried to look for something that was from beginning to end, just a great album. I think some of the best songs that he ever wrote, some of the best guitar solos he ever wrote or played, which is something that sometimes people forget about Prince, is that for all of his talents, multi-instrumentalist, amazing songwriter, unbelievable singer and charismatic performer, entertainer, he is one of the best guitar players to ever live, in my opinion. And much like you felt really sad with Aretha, I felt really sad when Prince passed. Sarah McLachlan's Fumbling Towards Ecstasy, an album that I listen to all the time, keep coming back to, that you know, I first discovered when it first came out. I absolutely love the timbre of her voice. I love her harmonies. I love the songs. They're a little on the darker side. They don't necessarily make me want to cry, but they certainly evoke a lot of emotion. And again, an album that I feel I can just sit back and listen to from beginning to end. And I didn't want to include really anything on this list that I've been involved in, but I did have the pleasure of remastering that album several years ago, and that was really meaningful to me.
Name drop.
Name drop, sorry, had to do it. I cheated sort of again with a Motown playlist, which actually I discovered after finding it was a playlist. I mean, this is 2018, we listen to playlists, or I do quite a bit now. I found this Motown 50 Fanthology playlist on Spotify many years ago, and we play it a lot around our house. It makes me really happy. It makes everybody in the house really happy. A lot of songs that I think are just classic pop songs that will endure forever. A lot of amazing performances. And a lot of songs that I grew up listening to in my house that my mom would play a lot, either in the house or in the car. And back then, I would want to put my headphones on and listen to rock records and get away from it. And as an adult, I found, what was I thinking then? This is some of the best music ever recorded. And then lastly, on my list of five, I have Rage Against the Machine's self-titled debut album, which I still think from beginning to end is just something I can listen to consistently, constantly, all the time. It's visceral. It evokes a lot of emotion, and also what I feel is really important with all art and of course, music as well, is there's a political and a social message throughout the album. And sometimes I listen to it now and I think, oh, God, they were mad then. 2018.
Yeah,
really,
like
really
that.
Mad. Yeah.
When Rage is in the name of the band.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Well, let's let's hear a clip from that. Clip three.
Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses. Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses.
All right, that's Killing in the Name, Rage Against the Machine. That's going to be one heck of an island you're on
there. It certainly is. It's going to be Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. All right.
I actually listened to that album right before the midterms.
Oh, you did?
I just,
okay.
And it was like, it just felt good.
Well, let's stay away from politics. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your questions and comments. The number to join the conversation is 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Maine Masonic Charitable Foundation, supporting Maine Public Radio's efforts to provide knowledge, wisdom, and entertainment to the people of Maine.
Hello, I'm Mark Vogelsang, President and CEO of Maine Public. This Giving Tuesday, I hope you'll take a moment to support nonprofit organizations that matter to you. And of course, I hope you'll count Maine Public Radio as one of them. Our entire state relies on having an independent public radio broadcaster to educate and be a trusted source of NPR news. So if you can, join me in supporting this essential broadcast service on Giving Tuesday by making a donation at mainpublic.org.
Once again this year, our Maine Public Classical holiday stream is up and running and will continue until mid-January, providing a quality, commercial-free, public radio-style 24/7 holiday online stream of the many wonderful sounds and diverse interpretations that make up the well-known and not-so-well-known sounds of the holidays. The Maine Public Classical Holiday Service is available on the Maine Public app or online at our website, mainpublic.org. Just click on Radio and listen live. It's one of the choices, and enjoy whenever and wherever.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, the and welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Keith Shortall. Today on the program, what are your top five records of all time? Or put otherwise, which five records would you want to take with you if stranded on a desert island? Joining me in studio, nationally acclaimed entertainer Spencer Albee. Adam Ahan is a Portland-based multiple Grammy Award-winning mastering engineer, and Katie Matzell is a Portland-based singer and songwriter currently touring in support of her self-titled debut album. We invite you to join the conversation. The number, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. The reason we came out with Moondance is that it was choice number one on Senator Angus King's list.
Let's not talk politics.
we're gonna inject a little bit of politics because we have a list of some political folks and some non-political folks that we. And by the way, these videos of these lists listed in person by these folks. We have Senator Collins, Congresswoman Pingree, Pat Callahan from Channel 6. Our own Irwin Gratz from Morning Edition, also included in this video. It is on our Facebook page and also at maincalling.org on our website. So check that out. It's really fun. Also on Senator King's list, High Tide and Green Grass, Rolling Stones, Rubber Soul, Beatles, Graceland, Paul Simon, Borderline, Ry Cooder. And then his bonus album, I'm not sure we had room for that, but The 2,000-Year-Old Man by Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks.
The comedy record.
We didn't have many comedy records
smart.
On these lists, but you could see how, I guess, on an island, it's going to come in handy.
That's why he's in charge of some things.
The number to join, 1-800-399-3566. Let's go to the phones now. Let's see. We'll go to Kitsy in Portland. Let's see if we can bring Kitsy in. Hi, Kitsy. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I think this is a generational thing, but I've often played this game with myself about if I were on a desert island, which composers would I want to take? Number one was Bach. Number two was Mahler. I appreciate what the other people have said, but that's not music that sustains me spiritually over time. So I'll give you quickly my five. Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings. There's a whole disc with various versions of it. And a Bach suite for unaccompanied cello. One of Mahler's symphonies. I haven't decided which one. The film score for The Lion in Winter. And the opera Hansel and Gretel in English.
Interesting. Well, you know, and we, you know, missing from this is a lot of classical references. I did speak with our classical guru, Robin Rylette, Kitsy, earlier before the show and asked her for her list, and she said it was too hard. She couldn't do five. She loves music so much.
Yeah.
And I guess we all sort of feel the same way.
I kind of touched on, I mean, it's neoclassical. I guess it's polarizing when it came out, but that Philip Glass record is considered by some to be classical.
Mm-hmm.
I almost added to my, I started thinking of Wizard of Oz, and then I started thinking about some of the other movies I watched as a little kid, and some music that really moved me when I was little was the orchestra work, the music that was on the original motion picture soundtracks for the original Peter Pan and Cinderella, those beautiful orchestral soundtracks were incredibly moving to me as a little kid.
Mm-hmm. Peter and the Wolf?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Peter and the Wolf was a staple. Again, not sure I'd take it with me. Me and my soccer ball friend.
It's a very personal choice.
We had talked about Joni Mitchell a little bit in the hallway, and I almost added Blue on my list because it's such a fantastic record. But I'd also mentioned to these guys Both Sides Now, which I believe was early 2000s, an album where she re-recorded a bunch of her most famous songs with an orchestra, and it's just beautiful, beautiful sounding album, and leans towards that realm that we're discussing.
So do you think, this is a theoretical, speculative question, but if we had a slightly older demographic as a panel, we might have some of the same records, right? I bet there'd still be Beatles near the top for a lot of those groups, but there might be these secondary choices, or... Do you think that music has universal appeal more powerfully as has musical appeal than the generational differences tend to influence?
I think both. I mean, I think that music, good music, has appeal across generations, but you also can't deny the fact that there's some music that you grow up with that just becomes a part of you and that you experience at a very impressionable age. Having Sarah McLachlan in Rage on my list here speaks to the fact that I was a person coming of age in the early 90s. And I could name many other records from the 80s when I was a younger kid and so on and so forth. So I think sometimes the generational aspect comes into play just because of when these pieces of music hit you and stick with you. Mm-hmm. But I think good music spans generations.
Yeah.
Except the kids today. The kids' music.
Well, that's kind of that's something that I talk about a lot because I grew up with – my dad works in radio. He has for decades, and he started as a DJ. And so I had access to really good music, and I'm thankful for that because I've got a lot of friends my age now who are having kids, and they talk about how they buy the kids' version of this type of music or music that's meant for kids. And I don't think we need to have kids' versions of music. I mm-hmm. think we just need to expose kids to good music. Mm-hmm. Beatles, Paul Simon, that will help a kid do what's instinctual to them, which is move their body, and it's already in them. And my dad loved old movies, so that's why Wizard of Oz was so big to me, and It's a Wonderful Life, and all these, MGM giant soundstage.
Sure, yeah. I didn't do my list yet. Who cares about my list? But my mother was an influence on me there. We listened to Billie Holiday a lot. And so I don't know if I would have found Billie Holiday on my own, as a 12-year-old in 1972. Probably not. But it sticks with me today, and it's on that list. But then, I found my own things. Like I'm into Stevie Ray Vaughan. In Step is on my list. The Jam. Remember The Jam from, Town Called Malice, The Gift. And Tricky. Max and Kay is one of my good records. So I'm a little bit eclectic, but as you say, there were these early childhood experiences that really influence.
The parental influence. I mean, I could easily take my first five records, which were ones that either my parents got for me or I just kind of inherited from their collection. And that would be Rubber Soul, The Supremes' Greatest Hits, The Platters' Encore of Golden Hits, Peter and the Wolf, and Henry Mancini 101 Strings, like other movie themes.
Right. Yeah.
And that'd be fine.
That's a cool list.
That is a really cool list. As a parent myself, I've since my kids were in utero, played a lot of music for them and a lot of the classic music and completely stayed away from reimaginations of it or kids' versions of songs. There's no need for that with so much great classic music. But I always feel as though I'm winning as a parent when we're in the car and the kids ask to hear the Beatles. And their favorite Beatles songs are deep cuts. Oldest, his favorite song is Eleanor Rigby, and my youngest is Hey Jude, which I guess isn't technically a deep cut. But still, I think that influence in music like that will continue through generations because it just has the appeal and it hits people emotionally.
Yeah.
Let's go to Bob in Winthrop. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how you doing? I'm kind of surprised no one mentioned Pet Sounds.
That was on my list, moved it. I moved it off. That was a hard one to part with.
No, I would never.
Oh, Bob, you're dropping out. But
Pet Sounds, anything by John, Mississippi John Hurt. I think I probably dropped you. That's it.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Bob.
We do love Pet Sounds.
Yeah. God Only Knows is
the best.
If I could have that on repeat on my island, I would.
Yeah.
I bumped it for Wizard of Oz because Judy Garland is very important to me. But, yeah, I felt bad.
We were talking before we came on, and I think we sort of agreed that the list could change tomorrow for any of us, right? I mean, this is not...
My list changed while we were here, I realized. I need to kick one off my list and put Marvin Gaye's What's Going On.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know how I missed Stevie Wonder either. Right. That hurts.
Bonnie, for me as well.
Yeah. Don't beat yourself up. Let's go to Rick in Belfast. Hi, Rick. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you guys doing? Just out of curiosity, when I was listening to the list that everyone was putting out, I didn't hear anybody mention any blues people, guitar players, such as Robert Cray or Johnny D. Hooker or any of those. I just was curious if anybody had an album that would fit in that category. Thanks.
Sure. Well, I mentioned Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah.
But I love all those others too. Once I discovered Stevie Ray Vaughan, I kind of went back and and looked at some of the artists that he had learned from and played with, and that was part of the whole experience too of really appreciating an artist is where you find out where they came from and you inherit musically all of their influences.
That's one of those. It's such a personal choice. Blues. Some people can sit and listen to exclusively blues and be totally happy. And that's
Yeah, on an island.
Sure. Or in their house or in their car.
All right, let's go to Dennis in Topsom. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks. You're on the air.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
And to you.
Now, listen, I just wanted to sort of mix it up a little bit here and mention Ralph Vaughan Williams, The Lark Ascending. And this was his recording that he did as conductor, and I think it's about 1945. It's just a beautiful album. And then Louis Armstrong's 1968, his last album, the one that had It's a Wonderful Life on it.
Mm-hmm.
What a Wonderful World.
Yeah. And then Big Brother and the Holding Company with Janis Joplin in 1968. That was live at the Fillmore West.
Good one.
Yeah.
Sounds like a theme there. There's like a 68 theme going on for you.
Yeah, Dennis.
I'm old. And then Led Zeppelin's first album, which my parents allowed me to play every morning before I went to school.
Great one.
Nice parents.
Yeah.
Yeah,
were nice.
Good. All right.
And then the final one would be Beggar's Banquet by the Rolling Stones.
So these are all, Spencer's noting, these are all sort of records from those formative years, right? Your coming of age. Why is music so important to us, and why do we cling to those songs more than any other time of our life in some ways? Do we know?
I know.
Dennis, go ahead.
It's poetry.
Uh-huh.
It's poetry. It's language that's been written down with a little bit of tune to it, and then the raw emotion that you get. And you get out of the music as you listen to it. And music, when it's well done, is timeless.
Mm. I mean, there's like Katie takes, as she approaches it as a singer. Some people will hear the rhythm first. Some people will note the guitar work or the production. Or, you know, there's all kinds of different ways. Like music can, I've eaten things that have been very delicious before, food that has been so good it just blows my mind. I don't think that I've eaten anything and broken into, down into tears. And music definitely has done that for me many times.
Yes.
You
know?
I think a bit has been written about this, and I can't cite anything at the moment, but quite a bit has been written about how music affects humans in general, but certainly how it affects young people and I think we're probably all outliers in this room, but how for the general listener, a lot of what they're impressed by or is impressed upon them emotionally by music happens at a younger age. And I think some has been written that, for some people at about 30, you stop listening to new music. I know we're not in that category.
That's right.
We're so deep in the music world.
I do have I get caught in my eddy sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Me too.
If I were to adhere to that strictly, my list would include Bay City Rollers and Leo Sayer.
See, that's your honesty. You're speaking your truth now. This is your list, and it needs to be what it is. And that's the thing about a list like this. Like, everything's correct.
Exactly.
You know,
No one really gets hurt here.
Right.
No.
Okay. Tell you what, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we want to hear from you. The number, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Faderly Law, dedicated to providing effective counsel on all matters of land use and real estate in Maine. Learn more at FaderlyLawMaine.com. And University of New England, educating Maine's future innovators in health, science, business, and more. UNE.edu.
Next time on City Arts and Lectures, renowned historian Doris Kearns Goodwin talks about four U.S. presidents who rose to the challenge of leading America during turbulent times. That's next time on City Arts and Lectures on this public radio station.
Coming up shortly, after Maine Calling at 2 o'clock, here on Maine Public Radio. Maine Public Travel is heading next to Italy, to Sicily. Well, then consider joining us next May on another of our Maine Public Travel cultural explorations. You're invited to join Morning Edition host Erwin Gratz and other friends of Maine Public. Our Many Flavors of Sicily 10-day tour will involve sightseeing, tours, lectures, and music that will offer insight and understanding of Sicily and its people. Learn more about Maine Public's Sicily tour by visiting our website, mainepublic.org. Thanks.
And welcome back. I'm Keith Shortall. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, Desert Island Discs. Which five records would you want with you if stranded on an island? Carole King made the list for Senator Susan Collins. We got her list earlier this week. That list also includes Innocent Man, Billy Joel, Heart Like a Wheel, Linda Ronstadt, Adele, Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga sing duets, and Oh Holy Night by Pavarotti. We've got a few prominent Maine folks who've offered their lists on video, in person. We've compiled that into a video on our website and on our Facebook site. Our panel today, discussing this topic, which you can talk about possibly over Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow, is Adam Ahan. He's a Portland-based multiple Grammy Award-winning mastering engineer. Katie Matzell, a Portland-based singer and songwriter currently touring in support of her self-titled debut album. Spencer Albee is a nationally acclaimed entertainer and native Mainer. Our conversation is joinable by you, the number 1-800-399-3566. We also have the list of Governor-elect Janet Mills, and her list includes $100 Valentine by Chris Smither, Amazing Grace, Aretha Franklin, Sketches of Spain, Miles Davis, Traveling Wilburys by Traveling Wilburys, Girl on Fire, Alicia Keys, and she also likes Springsteen and Dylan. I also want to share one more list here before we get back to our chat. Our own Sarah Willis, a host of the In Tune by 10 programs. Let's see, these aren't my favorite of all time, she says, but if I were on an island, I could listen to them forever, I think, she says. The Beatles, Rubber Soul, Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, Roxy Music, Avalon, Wilco, Being There, and Ryan Adams, Gold. And she adds one more, George Harrison, All Things Must Pass. Mm. There's a lot of nodding going on.
They're all.
I had a Ryan Adams alternate, too, and I think my list had a lot of heavy hitters on it, and I had him on this list originally, and then I thought, I think people have opinions about Ryan Adams, but when I started really paying attention to songwriting, Easy Tiger is a very, very special album to me. I think it's really wonderful all the way through.
He's one of those people where his personality kind of bleeds.
It's hard. I was at that show at Merrill Auditorium. He played two songs and walked stage, and that was
cool.
That was really hard for me.
Move.
Let's go.
What I like about that Carole King song you played is that you
such a great one.
Yeah, it's awesome, yeah. And you can hear her smiling as she's singing it.
That record was on heavy rotation in my house as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And another one that I didn't appreciate at the time, and now I listen to it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I must have heard that a million times.
Well, you take it for granted.
You take it for granted, yeah.
And just think about the amount of songs that person wrote.
Right.
And their place in history and, you know, how, like, the challenges that she must have had, and then, I don't know, just that joy. The joy comes through, you know.
And again, a lot of these are from the classic rock era. But Elaine from Surrey, I think, wants to introduce us to something else. Hi, Elaine. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Yeah, I noticed that when everyone is mentioning their rock records, it seems to be all from that era. And, hey, my husband and I grew up in that era, and I think that the drumbeat of classic rock radio has kind of killed some of the pleasure of listening to Led Zeppelin and, you know, Cream and even the Beatles for us. And we listen to mainly indie rock at our house now. Although we do have, I've got a teenager who is just discovering the classic rock, so that's still in play. But, you know, there's so many great bands. It really pains me to hear people say there's no good music being made anymore. And you guys have just mentioned a bunch of my favorites, but I would add to that the Decemberists, the Picaresque album is just one of my favorites. Bonnie Prince Billy, Wonder Show of the World is my favorite of his. Beck, Sea Change. You know, these are just some of the albums that my husband and I both love. And, you know, I just would definitely take them to a desert island.
Agreed.
Yeah, Elaine, thank you. So do we think that maybe these will be the sort of the baseline records for a lot of people who are younger now and when they get...
It's just going to be cumulative, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to add to that. I mean, because a great point was just raised. I could, you know, Spoon's Gimme Fiction or The Shins' Shoots Too Narrow. Like, I would be happy with those, too. It's... There's so many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think part of the problem is, and it's not a problem, there's so much great music being made. Some of these albums that we discussed from, say, the 60s and the 70s, that was a golden era of rock and roll. Mm-hmm. You know, but it also was an era, and we're just coming out of this era of getting ears, you know, getting music into a lot of ears in a commercial sense, and that has completely changed. Mm-hmm. And that's changed things. So, you know, the caller mentioned some really great indie rock bands that not everybody gets to hear because... We live in a fractured society now in terms of our media consumption.
Yes, only media consumption are we fractured.
Right, exactly. But, and you know, and it's powerful because you can play things on demand, you can play what you like, but it's just the way we consume music now is very different than it used to be. And all these bands made amazing music that will last forever, and they also made it at a time where a lot of people heard it. There were three TV stations, there was a handful of AM or FM radio stations, and this stuff was just, you know, coming out of every car speaker, every television, every transistor radio, and infecting us with beautiful music, which doesn't happen quite that way anymore. It's just not the way we consume it anymore.
Let's go to Bonnie in Yarmouth. Hi, Bonnie. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, or I guess it's not afternoon. I wanted to, I'm 91, and I wanted to go back, and if I were on an island, I thought of Tom Hanks and Wilson, his ball, and I laughed my sides off. But what I would like, I like to sing and I like to dance. I would think I would want to hear Tex Beneke and Big Noise, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, Big Noise from Winnetka, because I went to New Trier, which is in Winnetka. And then I wanted to hear Puccini's My Butterfly, because I love the Requiem. And everybody asked him, why doesn't anyone sing that? This is an operetta, whichever you want to call it. And Puccini said, there are no words that can fit my Requiem. And it's a perfectly beautiful piece. I won't hum it right now because there's no time. Then, because I'm on a desert island, and I'm all alone, I would like to hear Louis Armstrong, and it's a Wonderful World. And then I would like to hear Yo-Yo Ma. I love his work. It's very relaxing. And then, of course, I would like A Benediction by Shanaz Waite. and just that song. And she starts, "May God's love now hover o'er us." And then I would end with "Starlight." That's it.
Well, Bonnie, your island is going to be a relaxing and and wonderful place.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much.
Dance all night. Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
She mentioned Tex Beneke. I learned to play drums at the in the fourth grade, listening to Tex Beneke. Those records. So I it brings me back. It's funny hearing other people's lists.
Yeah.
And you forget about it, and it suddenly takes you someplace, actually.
Did you hear how she was saying, "And of course."
Of course.
So you have it. Yeah.
Of course.
You got to have it.
That's what made exercise so insanely difficult, is there's so much wonderful music that you could choose,
Well, maybe that's the takeaway.
Right.
It helps us suddenly realize how much there is. Because otherwise it's hard to fathom.
Even if I took your list
to
an island, I'd probably, even if I don't, I mean, I have an appreciation for everything that you mentioned, but you probably leave with a deeper appreciation.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah. I could live
unless
with
it was in St. Clown Posse.
Right. Well, that's certainly not anywhere in my
life. That was weird.
I could live with Bonnie's list, too, but let's see if we can go with Steve in Poland. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. Actually, did you say Eve?
No, Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just heard it wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just like trying to cover all the moods, basically. So it's kind of eclectic. It goes all over the place. Gets Gilberto. It's the one with Ipanema on it.
Mm-hmm.
Double Nickels on the Dime by the Minutemen. That's like one of the greatest punk albums of all time. The White Album, because you can't go wrong with the Beatles. And I know one of your panelists already mentioned that one. Boulez's version of Right of Spring, just because, get some of that stuff in. And then I really wanted to get a Joni Mitchell album in, and I kind of just, just threw one in there because, I mean, all of her stuff is great. I'd like to have all of her stuff. But I was thinking Court and Spark would be good.
Solid choice.
Yeah, those are all good. Steve, thanks so much.
Sure.
Let's see. Email from Amy. Laugh if you want, but if I were stuck on a desert island without at least one Kris Kristofferson album, I would hurl myself into the ocean.
Well, that's no laughing matter.
That's serious stuff.
Yeah.
And you can take your Kris Kristofferson record. No,
he's got his place.
Yeah. Sure.
I think you need to own, and we've touched upon this a little bit, but you've got to own what you like and no excuses. I think Dave Grohl once said that he hated the phrase guilty pleasures, and I agree with that. If you like it, own it, love it. I have things on my list that made me think, am I going to seem uncool?
Yeah.
No, this is me. This is what I like, and everybody's a little bit different.
All right, let's go to Constantino in Westbrook. Hi, Constantino.
Good afternoon to you and your esteemed panel. It was a fun show.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'll start off with the Village Green Preservation Society by the Kinks.
Awesome.
Love that album.
I'll go to the Nine Symphonies by Beethoven.
Mm.
And I'll go to Exile on Main Street, the Rolling Stones. Mm-hmm. The Sun Sessions by Elvis. Mm-hmm. And my guilty pleasure one would be Never Mind the Bollocks, Here Are the Sex Pistols.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds like a good island.
Yeah, it does. It's a party island, really.
What time is dinner?
Party island, yeah. If you're going to be on an island, make it a party.
That's right.
Right. All right, Constantino, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see. We did get a list also from Congresswoman Shelley Pingree. Abbey Road. Hamilton. That's the first. Today's Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, we have a little. Do we have the clip from? Yeah, we have my shot from the cast of Hamilton. Can we play? That's cut 8.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I'ma get a scholarship to King's College. I probably shouldn't brag, but dag, I'm amazed and astonished. The problem is I got a lot of brains but no polish. I got a holler just to be heard with every word. I drop knowledge. I'm a diamond in the rough. A shining piece of coal, trying to reach my goal, my power of speech.
And rounding out Congresswoman Pingree's top five, The Wooden Ball by the Tough Cats. I think that's a isn't that a main band?
Yeah, they are.
North Haven.
Yeah, so right near her home. And Freeway of Love, Aretha Franklin, which people would agree to.
Mm-hmm.
Before we run out of time, I know there are a couple of things we want to talk about. Events upcoming, other than just Thanksgiving for most of us. But Spencer, you've got a big happening going on.
I provide the Thanksgiving escape. So every year we do an event called Beatles Night at the State Theater. It's a three-night stand. And this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Actually, Katie is involved in that as well. And we're doing the Red Album, 62 to 66 on Friday. Blue Album, 67 to 70 on Saturday. And Sunday's a family matinee, mix of both shows. But okay. It's really fun every year.
And so. Where do you go online to find out?
You can get your tickets at statetheaterportland.com at the Port City Music Hall box office or by calling 1-800-745-3000.
Ooh.
Wow.
Good job.
Well played. Thanks.
And the phone lines are lighting up.
Right. Yeah, people.
Katie, did you have something you wanted to share also?
I do. I actually have a show tonight that Spencer's also in. I will be opening for the Rustic Overtones at Port City Music Hall tonight. The show starts at 8 o'clock. I sing with, it's a five-piece band, including myself. And Spencer's back with Rustic Overtones tonight. So it's a really fun night before Thanksgiving show. Bring all your friends and family, everyone from high school.
It's going to be a big night
for
babysitters.
It's close to selling out, yes.
Right.
So, yes.
You make bank tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam, any gigs coming up?
I don't have any gigs coming up, no. I'm just going to be mastering records and eating turkey this week. So.
Winning Grammys.
Winning Grammys.
Making money, having fun.
All right. Now, are any of you going to have this conversation at Thanksgiving dinner, do you think? Or have you had enough of it for now?
It's a good conversation starter, I think.
My family talks about music a lot.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to happen anyway.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Katie Matzell is a Portland-based singer and songwriter, currently touring in support of her self-titled debut album. Adam Ayan is a Portland-based, multiple Grammy award-winning mastering engineer. Spencer Albee, a nationally acclaimed entertainer. And don't forget to check out the Main Calling website and Facebook page to see the Desert Island discs your fellow Mainers selected. There's a very excellent video on there. You will love it. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. We had additional production help from Sandra Harris. You can find past editions of Main Calling as well as helpful links and resources by visiting maincalling.org. Today's show will be broadcast again tonight at 8 o'clock. Main Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Keith Shortall. Thanks for listening to Main Calling on Main Public, and I hope you have a great Thanksgiving.